Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Rabbi Beryl Wein, what parsha are we talking about this week?
Parsha is Korach. The parsha is named after the chief antagonist of Moshe, Korach. Korach is a man of enormous wealth. In the Yiddish, there's a famous statement, Reich wie Korach. He's as rich as Korach. Later generations became as rich as Rothschild. That's not to say that Rothschild and Korach are comparable, but Korach, the rabbi said, found the key to the treasure house in Egypt, and he was a very, very wealthy man. He's also a powerful person. He's a respected person. He's ahead of one of the families of the Levites. I mean, if you look at Korach, there's the man that has everything, right? What could you buy him for a gift?
And he's related to Moshe.
And he's related to Moshe, right? He's a cousin. And, you know, he's got his 63-room house. And what's his problem? So the rabbis phrased it very indelicately. They said, Mishi Yeshlo Mona Rotsa Messiah. The nature of human beings is that if you have 100, you want 200. That no matter how many zeros you'll add to that, that nature remains. Person always wants more. And he feels cheated that Aaron has a big share and Moshe has a big share and he's just plain Mr. Levy. And he figures that he's entitled to more. Rashi even points out the Medrash, the Talmud, that he saw that down the halls of his generations, the prophet Samuel comes from him. He's a direct descendant of his. He said, if I have such a great-grandson, right? So you can imagine what the great-grandfather should be. So how can it be that I don't have this enormous honor? And honor is it's addictive. It's dangerous. The rabbi said, he who pursues honor, honor flees from him. And he who flees from honor, then honor will catch up to him. So the interpretation there always was, a human being can only run so far for so long. Eventually, one has to stop. Honor is not bound by human strictures. So if one is pursuing honor, so he has to stop, then honor keeps on getting farther and farther away from him. And if one is fleeing from honor, then he has to stop and the honor will catch up to him. The rabbis described stages in life. In the early stage of life, when people are very young and they're pubescent years, so desire is the strongest of all emotions. Then comes money. But then comes honor. And you see many times that people who have everything are slaves to honor. They're very sensitive to their honor. And that's what happened to Korach. And worse than that, Korach is able to assemble all the malcontents. You know, you can put together people who have, they don't like the rabbi. So this guy doesn't like the rabbi because he's too religious. And this guy doesn't like the rabbi because he's not religious enough. And this guy doesn't like the rabbi because he didn't come to visit him when he's sick. And this guy doesn't like the rabbi because of the fact he spends too much time in the hospital visiting people. But the common denominator is that they will all unite not liking the rabbi. And they'll say, well, let's not renew his contract. Let's not, even though their reasons are disparate and they themselves are not a unit. Well, that's what happens with Korach. He puts together everybody's got complaints to Moshe. Well, there's no leader to whom adversaries are absent. Everybody, look at Moshe, he got up early, he got up late, he's here, he's there.
But charges were seemingly
legitimate. Correct, right. But that doesn't change the fact that he's Moshe, right? You have to see the whole package. when you see the whole package, so then who is like Moshe? There's no one that can equal him. But we like to pick people apart, and you know, you pick people apart. You see the 2% that isn't so satisfactory, and you forget the 98% that is. And so he puts together all of these disparate groups of people, and they mount this tremendous rebellion. Now, if they would have been successful, then they would have had a civil war amongst themselves. But as long as the focus was Moshe, there's an interesting comment in the Medrash. The Medrash says that Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Beisa, the wisdom of wives created their home, saved their home. So the Talmud says that refers to the wife of On Ben Peles, because she did not allow her husband, who originally was one of the conspirators, she didn't allow him to go out of the house to go confront Moshe, and therefore he was saved from being swallowed up in the earth, etc. So the rabbis put in her mouth the statement that she told her husband, listen, what's the difference? If Korach wins, you're still On Ben Peles. If Moshe wins, you're still on. So what's in your fight? You know, what are you mixing in for, right? There's no... You know, so then it's just you want to be a naysayer. You just want to be part of the action. There's no reason for you to be involved. And if we think about it, many, many disputes, communal disputes, family disputes, God forbid, national disputes, most of the people would be much better off staying out of it. They have no benefit from it. There's no issue that really concerns them, that pushes them, but you know, everybody likes to be part of the action. Everybody likes to fight. Everybody likes to be involved. And so tragedy occurs. The tragedy is not only to Korach and his family. It's interesting that Korach's children are saved. They're wise enough not to make that error. And we read in Tehillim hundreds of years later, Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. This is a song, a psalm of the children of Korach. And in fact, in the Ashkenazic ritual, before the shofar is sounded on Rosh Hashanah, we recite that psalm as the introduction to what the most awesome moment of the Jewish ritual year. So Korach lives, but he doesn't live the way he thought he was going to live. Yeah. And that's the irony of it.
And the idea of the children being punished for the sins of the fathers, how does that play in here?
Well, the children are only punished for the sins of their fathers if they continue to perpetrate the sins of the fathers. If every person is judged individually, and the Torah it says that fathers don't die for children and children don't die for fathers. But for four generations, if everybody keeps on doing the same thing, right, it's like the mafia family, right? Yeah, they say that the difference between the Jews and the Italians and the mafia was that the Jews didn't want them to go into the business. So the children became doctors, lawyers, etc. The Italians kept them all in the family business. So you got three generations of a certain mafia family sitting in jail. The grandfather, the father, and the grandson. So if you continue doing it, so then the sins of the fathers are visited upon the children and the grandchildren. But the child has the right to choose. And we see that Korach's grandchildren, the great prophet Samuel, and the authors of this psalm that we recite, etc., oh, they chose a different path than their great-grandfather. And that was their salvation. So we have to factor all of that in our choices in life as well.
Rabbi Beryl Wein on Parshat Korach.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.